you're almost disingenuous if you start any other direction than with Kevin Durant, because it's the hugest story of this postseason and maybe one of the biggest injuries that's ever taken place in an NBA Finals. What's your feeling as a former player, the way that franchise handled his injury, the way he was forced? I don't know. I'm leading the witness
Not
here.
Not forced.
Yeah, but the way he played in that game through what looked like when he suffered the injury at the time against the Houston Rockets, one that was going to put him out for the rest of the year.
Man, there's many levels to it. It's, you know, it's, first of all, it's really unfortunate, and it saddens me because I have, like, a close feeling to that, trying to play when you're hurt and you know, not working out for you and damaging you a little longer. And it's just sacrificing, and you love the game, and you go through a lot of things where you have to make decisions. And nowadays, the long-term decision is what everybody's pushing for. You hear a lot of the teams and, you know, sports sciences, load management, and they're holding people out of games, you know, regular season to preserve their bodies and all that stuff. And it's just weird to me that something this serious and, you know, this uncertain with a Kevin Durant, how he was allowed to go out there and play, where I've seen people just rest and not play back-to-backs, or they have a hangnail and they hold them out of games. And something like this, once again, someone you can tell from the medicine side or the medical side could have been like, or should have been like, or may have been like, you know, you shouldn't play, and we're not going to let you play. Because I've seen guys not allowed to play. I've seen Joel Embiid wanting to play, and the Sixers holding him out, and they having arguments, and whatever you say, whatever, you're not going to go out there and play. So for him to be in that situation where, you know, he played and the outcome was what it was, is very unfortunate. So it's just hard to say, but, you know, you see somebody go out there and try to put it all on the line for their team and themselves, and, you know, for whatever reason, and it doesn't work out, it's sad. So hopefully the right things are taking place, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that medical staff remaining employed by the Warriors. Feel like they'll probably switch that group up. But one of the most troubling things that I heard was last night when Steve Kerr said that he wasn't aware that Durant was in a position where he could re-injure himself, or that there was a chance that
he said
it could
that
be,
before the game. He said that there wasn't a chance of re-injury.
There wasn't a chance of re-injury. And the same thing was said about Kevon Looney, that there was no chance of re-aggravation and re-injury. And he left that game, obviously not nearly as severe as Durant, with the Achilles, especially heading into free agency. But do you think, like, everyone today is talking about the impact of Toronto's image in terms of, you know, their fans cheering when Durant was hurt. And again, an ugly look, but do you feel as though the image of the Golden State Warriors has changed around the NBA based on Durant getting in that game and the way that the organization or the position they put him in throughout this finals run?
I mean, it possibly could. You know, you wait to hear from Kevin Durant and you wait to hear the whole story, because once again, it could have been, you know, a mutual decision, and it could have been, you know, Golden State were saying, you know, whatever they were saying, and Kevin Durant said, you know what, I want to try it, or whatever the case may be. When you're a player, you get out there and you start feeling good, and you forget about that injury. But you don't really – sometimes you don't think about the future. Sometimes you think about the moment. And, you know, they had one game to lose for them, their season to be over. So you just don't know. But it is, once again, you know, these organizations and a lot of the people that's running the organizations, they have their own agendas. And a lot of times the players aren't the priority of their agendas. And once again, I've seen – and I've been in meetings where, you know, they've held players out, and it was no back and forth. There was no discussion. This is what we're going to do. This is the game plan, and we're going to move forward from there, because sports medicine has taken over from that capacity. It's not like back in the day where you were honored to play through injury, or you were honored to play as many consecutive games in a row in the Iron Man. It's not that anymore. So for the team to say, or Steve Kerr to say, which I didn't hear, he was unaware of anything or whatever, that's baloney, because they're aware of everything. Those meetings take place. It's a connectivity from everybody, coaches, management, the medical staff. They're connected. So if that was to take place, there was a hiccup. It's a big time hiccup in that organization.
Well, if I was Kevin Durant, I'd have been pretty pissed off seeing Bob Myers at the podium yesterday crying, just because when Klay Thompson was injured, that's what it was. It was, this guy's so tough. He's such a warrior. He never misses any games. He's the consummate player of one of the consummate players of this organization. He played on the high ankle sprain. He's played, you know, with blood dripping from his head and after sustaining a head injury. And we have to save Klay from himself. We are taking Klay out of this game. He wants to play, but we are saying, no, Klay Thompson, you got to sit out game 3. We're playing for a long series. And with Kevin Durant, it was basically the opposite. It was, hey, is this guy ready to play? Hey, is it going to be game four? Hey, is it going to be game three? If it was Klay Thompson, would he have already been in this game? Is it is 30 games too long for this player? And I can't imagine that the way the organization handled this to a certain degree and just the differences that they did, the way that they employed their reasoning with Klay Thompson versus Kevin Durant, like that those are not real things and that they didn't influence Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I'm sure. And Kevin Durant, and we can call a spade, Kevin Durant has proven to be a sensitive guy, has been somebody that listened to the outside, and he's reacted upon it, whether it's, you know, the social media piece and him not talking to media. So I think it would be perfect for that organization to try to protect Kevin Durant from himself. Because at some point you see he's a guy that's trying to be something. He's trying to prove to other people no matter what. So sometimes you need that. You know, sometimes you need someone to say, you know, Kevin, this is not the right decision. Let's sit out. Or you know what, Kevin, once again, Kevin, because before he got hurt, I won't lie, he looked pretty damn good to me. I've never seen a player come back with that time off. So if he didn't get hurt, then what would we be saying? So you just never know. It's just you just hope that everything, all the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed before this decision was made. And, you know, injuries are a part of this thing. You know, like I said, I've played through things. I've been told not to play, and Lenny Wilkins has been criticized for playing me too long and stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is my decision, and I made that decision. And, you know, hopefully, you know, the organization understands that and respect that, and they can help you through the process of when it's all over.
Yeah, let's not do the mental exercise of wondering what this series would have been like if Kevin Durant had been healthy throughout all the games, because I think that might be frightening from a Raptors perspective. But as far as making the decisions as an individual player, and we've seen it. We've seen it with Kawhi Leonard last year deciding that he knew his body better than anybody that was trying to give him advice, and he held himself out. He made a decision, and it cost his relationship with the San Antonio Spurs. Do you think seeing this on the biggest stage that the game has, the way it went down for Kevin Durant, that it might influence a player's decision maybe to not play through something they might have otherwise been pressured to going forward?
Yeah, I think so. But I think it more so from an organization standpoint. I think they're going to have more accountability, more liability, and that's what it's going to look like. The players now at this time, they are taking more control of their careers and their decisions. And, you know, you will see more of a Kawhi Leonard approach. You know, I got to do what I have to do for myself, because the players are aware of this is a business. They are more aware of that it's a long-term effect. The contracts are much bigger, things like that. So and you have different people in your ear that's giving you that information. You know, that's what was Kawhi Leonard. It wasn't just him and the San Antonio Spurs. Kawhi Leonard had a support team behind him, another medical team, and other people that could give him different information than the Spurs. So it's all about how the organizations are going to approach these situations. And I think the way, if you look at the Raptors and how they manage Kawhi this year, that's the approach. We're going to have a partnership when it comes to your playing time. We're going to have a partnership when it comes to how we manage your rest and everything like that. And I think that's what it's going to be from, like, moving forward, even more than it is today.
Well, is it always going to feel this, like, untrustworthy from both sides? Because, this has been a theme for a little while now, right? The idea that whenever the organization moves off a player, it's a business. Whenever a player leaves, it's a lack of loyalty. And, yeah, when someone sits out, they're being too selfish or they're not being tough enough. But then when they play, it's the organization being selfish and forcing a guy into a bad position. And, like, you mentioned the Raptors, and on the one hand, like, they look like this good organization. We're like, hey, they looked out for what was best for Kawhi Leonard. But ultimately, this is motivated out of self-preservation. Like, they want Kawhi Leonard to be healthy so they can win a championship, and they also want him to be healthy so that he stays. And it's not as though, you know, they're faultless in this. Like, they did move off of DeMar DeRozan after he'd committed to this organization for a bunch of years, and he positioned himself as the face of the Toronto Raptors. Like, do you see a way where these organizations and these players can find better footing, or is it just – it's always going to be a business, and it's always going to be this way?
It's always going to be a business. It's probably going to be even more. Yeah. But I just think now the importance of the players and their brands and what they bring to, you know, these organizations from another economical standpoint, you know, the teams, they have to look at it a little differently now. It's not just as easy as moving pieces around and calling them assets, which I hate when players are referred to as assets. And it's a different approach. You know, the players, once again, they have a better understanding. They have more of a selfishness, which is not a bad thing, and it will be questioned with the loyalty piece and all of that stuff. So I think, once again, creating that partnership and understanding, you know, if you're in business, two partners may not get along. And at the end of the day, we have to work together to make this business as good as possible so both of us can win, whether we sell out, whether we, you know, move along and create another business, whatever it is. So I just think it's one of those type of situations where both, you know, organizations and the players have to work together. But more so the organizations, they have to respect where the players are coming from. They have to understand. And once again, I think the Raptors did a good job of doing what they did with Kawhi, because they created a trust. They saw what San Antonio did, right? And the trust was broken between Kawhi and that organization. And I think the Raptors saw that as an opportunity. You know, we're gonna build this trust, and we're gonna do exactly what San Antonio didn't do, and possibly, you know, create this with Kawhi and give us a better chance for him to come back. So there's a lot of different moving pieces, but I think the fundamental thing is the trust and the understanding and respect for one another to move forward.
Talking to Alvin Williams. So, yeah, Kevin Durant, I mean, we don't have official word what it is, but it looks like an Achilles tear, and he's having an MRI today. But either way, like, he's done for the final two games of the series, barring something totally unforeseen. And I don't know where you stand on this, Alvin, but, I mean, to me, he was the biggest question I had in the series. But if he's not involved the rest of the way, I've seen enough during this series to pretty definitively say the Raptors are the better team without Kevin Durant. I mean, could the Warriors win the last two games? Of course, they're the champs. But, I mean, if we're just thinking logically and just going on the evidence that we have, is it not true that the Raptors are the better team?
Yeah, they are the better team, and they've proven it. And they're a more consistent team with their style of play and their results. You know, Warriors are a great team, and they have great players, you know, and they have the experience, and they have the confidence. But at the end of the day, I think they don't have enough bullets in their gun to go to war with the Raptors. I just don't think they do. I think the Raptors, from their bench, the bench is better, and they're playing better. And you have a Kawhi Leonard that can take the game over no matter who's guarding him or what the situation is. Now it's going to be up to the Raptors to be able to bounce back from the question marks and the outcome of yesterday's game. But I think they have the ability, because the Raptors aren't charged emotionally. You know, they just go and play. They're not going to get up. They're not going to get too down. And they're just going to go. So I think the Raptors have the best chance to win this series.
Yeah, I think that's true. I also think that they blew that chance to close it out. And you're still not feeling great going into Oracle against Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, especially after the shooting exhibit that those two guys just put on in your own gym. And let's put it like the Raptors were up 6 points with 3 minutes to play, and they had the ball. And a lot has been made of Nick Nurse. A lot has been made of the decision making. Some of it has been the fact that Curry and Steph were able to get that wide open. Was what bothered you about the close of that game, or was it just simply the Warriors played better?
Oh no, I don't think they played better. I think they did make shots, and at the right time, you have those players that can do that. But the thing that bothered me the most was the timeout. You know, the timeout that was called, and then the timeout that wasn't called, you know, with 15 seconds left. And I thought there were two opportunities that could have been seized to really keep the momentum during that game. But you know what, man? When you're a coach, and all praise once again to Nick Nurse, because he's been doing a great job pushing buttons and doing things like that, you're in a game. You're in a game, and you're thinking one thing, and you don't have much time to think about the outcome or what it's going to do. You're just thinking, and you know your team, you know the situation. And so it's one of those type of things where you can be overly critical, or you can just be critical, but, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. So, I mean, it's a decision. He made the decision to go box and one. If that would have failed miserably, then we've been talking about another story, but he's making tough decisions on the fly. So, you know, hopefully this is a learning experience. If this opportunity come up again and Kawhi Leonard is going off, he probably would know, you know, I'm not going to stop this momentum. And if he got a last-second shot with 15 seconds left, you know what, let me call a timeout and design something, because last time they doubled it and we didn't have enough time to get a good shot off. So he'll learn from it. And I think this team, once again, I feel good game six going into Oracle, because I've seen this team win two games, you know, and they control those games. So I feel good if I'm the Raptors or anyone else, a fan or whatever, going into this game at Oracle game six.
Yeah, I think players are allowed to have bad games, and I think coaches are allowed to have bad games. That was a bad game from Nick Nurse.
It was definitely a bad game. It was definitely a bad closing for Nick Nurse. I think Alvin nailed it, and that he probably overthought it a little bit in just terms of the moment and trying to maybe, you know, okay, this is a bit of a stretch, but sometimes we say that bad managers across all professions are the ones who try to insert themselves too much.
Micromanagers?
Yeah, and that seemed like a moment of micromanaging where it's like he's thinking about Kawhi Leonard's rest for the last 3 minutes.
But then he does the opposite, and then he lets them play it out the final 16 seconds. Yeah,
that
but you know what? I won't say it was a bad game. I won't say it was a bad game by the coach.
Yeah,
it was
bad just, moment.
You know, bad moments. Yeah, it's bad moments. And that's the thing about basketball, right? It's fast. It's fast, and it's play after play, you know, possession after possession. And sometimes one or two possessions can cost you, you know, in a game. That's why when we always talk about this time of the year is possession, time and score, and it's play, play, play. Because the first play of the game could cost you the last play of the game. You know, it's not like a regular season game. These games and these moments are so pivotal that you got to make quick decisions and you got to stand by it. And then, you know, hopefully it pan out. But I won't say it's a bad game, but like you said, Jay, you got to – it was just bad moments that didn't pan out well.
Yeah, it wasn't. And we're definitely playing the result there. But we also have to be able to acknowledge that if we're going to be able to criticize players for saying, yeah, player choke, that, yeah, I think a coach can choke too. And someone who, you know, Nick Nurse being on the verge of winning an NBA title all of a sudden he's there, it's right in front of him. And, yeah, he's just thinking, yeah, how am I going to impact this game? Oh, my God, what are we going to do? We got the ball. We're up six. We're 3 minutes away. Timeout. It's just I think that – those things can be that those can be chokes as well. I just ultimately, I'm with you. I think they can go to Oracle. They're already 2-0 there. We've already seen what this Warriors team looks like with just Clay and Steph. And we know that the Raptors shot something like 25% against a team that shot 45% from three. They didn't get a good game. Yeah, they didn't get a good game from Pascal. Kawhi Leonard didn't turn it on until the final like 6 minutes of that game. For the most part, he was really struggling to get looks. Danny Green missed just about everything. I thought basically only Kyle Lowry and Marc Gasol had complete games, like almost, you know, not maybe start to finish, but were the more consistent players in that one. I still believe the Raptors are the better group. I still think that they can get this done. I don't see any reason to believe that that's not going to be the case moving forward. I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, Kevin Durant might have changed things, but okay. That's a discussion for another day. Just Raptors need to win one of these final two.
Kevin Durant showed us all. The type of player he is, that looked like a whole different team.
Dude,
that first quarter, man, cheese and crackers. That was a heck of a performance for somebody that had been out for a while.
Cheese and crackers.
Yeah,
I've never heard that phrase before. Cheese and crackers. I like that.
No, that's from my pop when I was young. He wouldn't say Jesus Christ. He would say cheese and crackers.
I was gonna say Ben.
It stayed with me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry for being corny.
Yeah, no, I like it. I'm using it. Alvin, appreciate the time. Enjoy the return to the Bay. Go down, see the sea lions or whatever. See ya.
Hell no. Thank you.
Alvin Williams.